Well, this is the mission, and this is what it's all about, and this is the plan that God has that we're involved in. So it's not just about attending church services and just kind of being here. It's about knowing Him and worshiping Him. Would you stand with me? And I'm going to read this one more time. We started out talking about the mission, and then we took the first word, go, and then we talked about the next part, make disciples. Last week, the next part where He said baptizing them and teaching them. And this week, we're going to finish up with, I think, what brings it all together. I'm going to read the whole thing. But as you can see, this last part where it says, behold, or lo, I'm with you always, that's what we're going to talk about today. If you missed any of these messages, you can go back online to our church website and listen to them, okay? All right, read with me. In Matthew, let's read this whole thing in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. This is called the Great Commission. It says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Pray with me. Father, bless your word. Open up our hearts. Help us, Lord, to continue to be in an attitude of worship and not be distracted. And I pray that you would teach us and challenge us and move us today in your name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, Jesus fulfilling his mission, right? Are you with me? Jesus fulfilling his mission. And he then, right here in this scene, he's empowering his followers to carry on his work. He's not going to stay here and do it himself. This amazing thing to me, that Jesus is going to physically ascend back to the Father. He's going to leave their physical presence. That's what's about to happen. You look at the parallel passage in the book of Acts and you see that it includes this plus a few other things where he says that they're to wait in Jerusalem and then power is going to come upon them when the Holy Spirit is given and they're going to be witnesses to him. What does a witness do? Testify. So they're going to take the testimony. Are you with me? They're going to take the testimony that Jesus gave them. They're going to spread it throughout the known world to every language group, every tribe. And he says, I'm going, I'm leaving. But yet he says, I'm leaving, but I'll be with you. I think that's awesome. So now, this is the thing that amazes me, that you and I, as his disciples down through time, it's been handed off all the way down to us, people who have come to Christ and believe in him as our Lord and our Savior and understand that he died on the cross to pay for our sins, rose again to give us new life. But see, now we're in his family. Now we're back where we need to be because we were created by God, but we were alienated from God by sin. Now that our sins have been atoned for, paid for by Christ, we can have a relationship with God again, the relationship with the one who created us. That's the only way we really find fulfillment and purpose. Otherwise, why do you think people in our culture are always reaching and grasping after all these different things? And death, they're so afraid of death, don't even want to talk about it. But us, we have a satisfaction. We have a fulfillment. We have a purpose that runs deeper than anything. And it causes us to be able to even enjoy our walk through this world more than we could have ever before without him. Because see, now we have a relationship with the Creator and we can fulfill our created purpose. Makes a big difference, doesn't it? But the thing is that part of that purpose is that he chooses us, those of us who have been redeemed by Christ. And people like us, guess what we are? We're sinners. We're not perfect. We struggle. It's people like us that come in contact with his grace, and he begins transforming our lives, and we're still growing. We're still struggling, but Christ is living in us and helping us grow and helping us to overcome. And this is the thing, that now he chooses to use ordinary people like you and me, sinners saved by grace. He's chosen to use us to carry on this mission. Isn't that amazing? Because you would think God would have come up with a better plan. But this is the master plan. It's got to be us. So that tells me we're not fulfilling our purposes if all we want to do is attend religious meetings on the first day of the week or on the Saturday or whenever you do it. That's not what it's all about. Like you can say, well, I went through that and checked that off my list. There's so much more. We're to be a disciple. He sends us out. This is what this passage is about. His mission becomes our mission. His power is transmitted into us and through us so that he says, as you progress, as you go from place to place, I want you to make disciples for me. They're to be baptized and taught all the things and to observe all the things that I commanded and instructed, Jesus said. But he starts off with this statement here now, or he ends, I should say, with it. Lo. We don't talk like that anymore. I've tried it a time or two. You know, you'd be in a conversation, you say, lo. I mean, people say, like, you're crazy. Another way you could translate that, it's just in the Greek, it's just a very pointed, you know, just get your attention. One way you could say it is, behold. And I've tried that before, and people look at you like you're weird if you say, behold. You know, in the old day, and I'm surprised it wasn't translated this way sometimes, in like Elizabethan English, they might say, hark. Andy Griffith says that they said that a lot back then. But anyway, hark. But that's what this word is. It's like Jesus has said all of this, teaching them to observe all the things that I've commanded you. And he puts a word in there. It's a word that's designed to grab our attention in the original language. And it should do it. I don't know in our day to day just how we do it. That's why we just low. But you need to know that that word's not there just by chance. A lot of times we do a hey. Hey. Listen up. This is important. Because here's the deal. All the rest of this doesn't mean much. That we're to go, that we're to make disciples, that we're to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that we're to teach them. None of that's going to be happening if he's not with us. I'm telling you that this phrase is like the power punch of this whole thing. I'm sending you, but guess what? I'm going with you. That's exciting. So this is why he says, behold, listen. Maybe that'd be a good way to do it. Listen. I'm going to be with you always. So what does this speak of to me? When he says, I'm going to be with you, number one, the main thing that it speaks of is, of course, presence. It is his presence, right? If he's going to be with us, that means he's present. You following? Okay, good. He's been with them physically, teaching. They have heard his voice audibly. They've watched him work miracles. But now he's going to leave them. And then they are to go and to teach others to observe. But they have been taught by him personally. But he's not going to be there to teach the next generation of believers. They're going to do it. Which, by the way, as it says up there, you can't be a disciple without being a student. If you're going to be a follower of Christ, that means you're a disciple. If you're going to be a Christian, you've got to be a Christ follower. That means you're a disciple. That means you're a student of, and you've got to learn from him. If you don't learn, you can't follow, you can't be a disciple, and you can't help someone else learn if you're not learning. It all begins that way. That's what we're doing here. Dr. Paul Faulkner says this. He says, sometimes I'm not too good at listening. Anybody can identify with that? Don't raise your hand. But he says, I don't think I'm alone. Many of us listen up until the point where we disagree with the person. Then our minds just kind of jump the track and take off in another direction. We don't listen completely. In the Bible, God told Israel, I will raise up a prophet who will be a lot like Moses, and you must listen to everything he tells you. Did you hear that? You've got to listen. And then it finishes, anyone who does not listen will be cut off from among his people. Now, that'll get your attention, right? That's what God had said. So I'm still quoting him. He says, and if we don't listen and act on what we receive from the Lord, the power of his message won't carry through to the generations ahead. Let me just time out. What he's saying is if we don't listen and learn and then act on what we've learned, the power of what we've learned will not come through our lives and will not pass on to our children and our grandchildren. And I think we're all interested in that, aren't we? He says this, it won't carry through to the generations ahead. It won't carry through to your children, grandchildren, or great-grandchildren. Listen to his word. So we've got to start out there. Listen. Now there's two things that we're to do. That we are to be baptized, as we've seen, that is identified with Christ. And we are to be taught to observe, what did he say? Some things? All things. I kind of like to pick and choose, don't you? He doesn't give us that option. He says, all things that I commanded, that I taught, that you not only learn these things, but what does he say? That you teach them to do what? Observe them. What does that mean? That means you observe them by putting them to work in your own life, that you begin to obey. So not just some of the things, all the things. Jesus speaks to this to his disciples. He's about to leave, and, you know, it's wonderful the way this plays out, because he's saying, I'm leaving you, but yet I'm with you. Which is it, Jesus? You're leaving us? Yes. But yet I'm with you. But he didn't just say I'm with you. He says I'm with you what? All the time. Always. It's not I will be with you. It's I am with you. In fact, I will never not be with you. I'm here with you. I'm going to the Father, but I'm always, I am. He is the great I am. That the one who is with us is the great I am, who spoke the whole universe into existence. And think about that for a moment. It all hinges on this statement. Like I said, if it wasn't for that, the rest of it would be irrelevant. His presence, that's what we need. This is the thing sometimes that's missing. I'm not talking about just some emotional something. You know, that can come and go. Because what you need to know is that this promise is true. He is with you whether you feel it or you don't. Whether you're thinking about it or you're not, he's still there. You may have checked out on him, but he's still there. But I think we need those times. And especially as we come together to worship, where we really experience his presence. Now, those are mountaintops, and you can't live on the mountaintop, but I'm telling you, the mountaintop can give you a lot of energy to get through the valley when you know there's another mountaintop. We are afraid of his presence. I don't mean that some crazy, weird things are going to happen. What I'm saying is that you know and God reveals him and manifests himself in a powerful way in your life where you can look around and you say, there is nothing else can be said except that's God. We're going to try to play a song at the end of the service. Not yet. But it was an amazing experience for me to be with 200 men. As they sang this song with their hands lifted up to heaven, some of them dropping down on their knees and getting saved at the time as they thought about what the message of it is, and God moved in such a powerful way. And I think, you know, too often we're just afraid of that. We're afraid to just open up and really experience him, encounter him. But his presence is what it's all about, his presence. You remember when Mary and Martha, Jesus was invited over to their house, and Martha was all busy doing stuff. You know, I have a feeling that one of the reasons that Jesus liked going to their place was because of Martha. I mean, you know, I'm pretty sure she was a great hostess, that she could put out a pretty good meal. And that stuff's got to be done. But there came a point that she got a little miffed and got mad at her sister Mary because she's just sitting at Jesus' feet. And, you know, the stuff that Martha was doing needed to be done, and it was going to have to be done. But Jesus made a point out of it as she tried to get him to get on to Mary. Remember that? That she'd chosen the best thing. What the best thing was, she was sitting in his presence. The presence. That's what we need. I'm afraid that we come to church, we even open our Bibles and read before we go to bed or when we get up in the morning, and we do it just in our minds, and we don't really concentrate on the fact that we are in his presence, and his presence is with us. Because that's what fuels the fire. If I'm just doing this on my own, in my own strength, in my own wisdom, I'm not going to get very far. No wonder we're so defeated. No wonder we're so discouraged. But when I understand that his presence is in me, it changes everything. He is going. We are going. He is going in us and through us. He told us that's the way it's going to be. Now, I'm going to leave you. He'd been teaching the disciples that. But when I leave you, I'm going to be with you. His presence will soon not only be with them, but dwell in them through the Holy Spirit. In fact, he told them in John chapter 14, verse 16. He says, I will pray the Father. He's talking about leaving, and they're all bummed out about it. He goes, but I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. Some translations say comforter. The Greek word is parakletos, and literally it means one who will come alongside to assist. I'm not going to, and helper I think is a great way to translate it. Yes, we're going to be comforted, but the big thing he's going to do is help us. He's coming alongside to help and to assist and to comfort. And so he says, I will pray him. He will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. In other words, I'm leaving, but he won't leave. In the next verse, he says, who is this helper? The Spirit of Truth. This is one of the titles that the Holy Spirit has. Just as like Jesus has many titles, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Prince of Peace, Emmanuel. The Holy Spirit is called not only the Comforter, the Helper, the Spirit of Truth, the Spirit of Life, the Spirit of Christ. Many different things. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Truth, Jesus said, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. So the people of the world are not going to understand what you're going to understand because of this. But he says, but you know him. Oh, I do? Yeah, if you're saved, for he dwells with you at that time, but Jesus is still with them then physically. But he's pointing to this time in the future we're getting to when he says, and will be in you. That's going to happen. Day of Pentecost, that happened. And then in verse 26, he goes on to explain a little more. He says, but the helper, the Holy Spirit. Don't mistake who we're talking about here, okay? The Holy Spirit. Whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Now, in another place he says, he will glorify me, Jesus said. So the Holy Spirit's not doing his own thing. He's going to bring to mind the things that Jesus taught you. He's going to glorify Christ in your life. That's what he's all about. Now, if you're not interested in that, you're quenching the Spirit in your life and you're going to get nowhere. But if you're interested in knowing about Jesus, if you're interested in learning this stuff, if you're interested in having the power for it to actually begin to happen in your life and you to overcome some of the things that's been holding you back, the Holy Spirit says, that's what I'm here for. Let's get busy. And he's willing. You don't have to talk God into anything. He's ready. The thing he's waiting for is us. So since this is true, and we know it is, his presence is always going to be with us. He's leaving yet with us, but his presence is with us. And if his presence is with me, if this presence is in me, we're talking about the presence of the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the presence of the God who said, let there be light. If that presence is in me, how can I contain it? If that presence is in me, how can I keep that a secret? If that presence is in me, how can I not be changed? So if his presence is with us, it will strongly be indicated by our lives, by the way that we live. And this is suggested when he says, teaching them to observe all things. Not merely teach all things, but teach them to observe all things. If we've been identified with him in every way, and that's what our baptism represents, identified with his death, burial, and resurrection, then we're going to be identified with him in the way we live. See, that's kind of like what Paul's talking about in Romans 6. You've been buried with Christ in baptism. And so you should also... you're raised with Christ and walk in newness of life. As you come up out of the water, it represents this whole thing. You're a new creature in Christ. So we're identified with him. And so we have come to him, trusted in his death, burial, resurrection as payment for victory over sin. And so we've got to continue to learn and grow. We're going to continue. And when we start, it never gets boring. It never stops. And here's the process. Learn. I can't have much of a relationship with you if I don't know much about you. I mean, I can kind of identify who you are, but we don't have a very deep relationship unless we talk, unless I learn some things about you. And that's the same way with the Lord, and he's inviting us to do it. He's given us his word and the Holy Spirit to help us understand and apply it. So we learn, and as we learn, what happens? Our relationship gets bigger and stronger. And ours, our relationship with God Almighty, who is our creator and our owner. We're designed by him, for him, right? No other way that we live ever really works because we're designed by him and for him. We grow in that relationship, and the result is there will be obedience in our lives. All right, here's the thing. So many of us going around, got to be obedient. Lord, I'm not as obedient as I need to be. And that's a good thought. But if my focus is there, I'm going to struggle. My focus has got to be step one, step two. Step three produces step four. If I'm learning and I'm growing in His presence and in His relation, in a relationship with Him, I will be obedient. It's going to happen, right? It's going to flow. You're going to want to. I ain't tired of seeing Christians that like, well, I know I can't do that, boy, you know, and well, I've got to do this, you know, I'm just trying to earn my way on in. You can't earn it. I'm just trying to please the Lord. Listen, the thing about it is once you get this, you want to please Him. You're excited about it. You feed off of it. It just begins to happen in our lives. Yeah, there's a struggle with the flesh, absolutely, every day. But it's a struggle that you know is worth going through because of the victory that you get on the other end. And this is the thing that happens. So we continue. It's only natural that we're going to be changed and sanctified as we apply what we're taught. And result brings glory to Him. So it's hard to obey a command, by the way, that you've never heard, isn't it? You know, how many times have you been going through town and, you know, the little lights come on and the cop pulls you over? Is there a problem, officer? That's usually not the best way to approach it. I've only been pulled over a couple of times. And the last time was late at night coming back from Little Rock to Rosebud. And it was late. And I had borrowed Caleb's car when the Nationals were down in Little Rock. Remember that? And I was going back to Mom and Dad's. It's late. And they've changed the roads down there. So I get off the interstate, and I'm going down through Cabot on Highway 5 down through El Paso. And it's gone from 2-lane to 4-lane. And I hadn't seen a speed limit sign. Well, right around here, if you got roads like that, you're going 60, 65, are you not? I was going about a little over 60, and I topped a hill, and I saw him. Oh, boy. And I'm driving that little car Caleb used to have. And here come the lights. I pull over. So when he walks up, I'm just like, I'm sorry. He walks up, he says, that muffler's kind of loud. I said, I agree 100%. This is my boy did that. And I just told him, he said, you know what speed limit is? I said, nope. I said, I'm assuming it's not what I was going. No. You're going 63, it's 55. And, you know, I told him, I said, well, I haven't been through here in a while, but I'm sorry. You're right, I'm sorry. Bless his heart, he goes, well, yeah, you grew up in Rosebud, huh? Yeah, well, he says, you know, I don't know if they put very many signs on here. Listen, you just be careful, all right? I'm not even going to give you a warning. I'm just going to give you a verbal warning. Just be careful, all right? And I said, God bless you. God bless you. Can I have prayer for you? No, I didn't do that. But ignorance is no excuse. You know, if I said, I didn't know, it would have made no difference, right? And so I guarantee you get pulled over or something and you say, well, I didn't know. It's not going to mean anything. And same way with God. We're still guilty. But you can know. I mean, He's given it to us. You can know. And that's why I want to know. I can't obey any commands that I've never heard of. So I want to please You, Lord. It's got a desire burning in my heart to please You. So I want to know. And so I want to be in Your Word. I want to learn. I want to study. So, and I know there are people that call themselves disciples, but there's no desire to walk in Him. And there's no desire to observe the things that He's told us. There's no desire for obedience. That's a big word, isn't it? So I know that, you know, as long as I'm in this world, I'm going to have faults. I'm going to have shortcomings. And I know I'm saved by grace. But the thing is, if grace is at work in me, even though I'm not perfect in the practical sense, there's going to be an element of obedience that wants to keep pouring out of my life. The desire has got to be there. So that's what His presence in our life will produce. When He's with us, it's going to produce this. And this kind of goes like this. It produces obedience. Amen? Our obedience results in fruitfulness to God. And our fruitfulness, as we've studied in John chapter 15, results in God being glorified. He says, by this I'm glorified, that you bear much fruit. That's the whole thing. I want to glorify God. This is how it happens, folks. And it starts with that learning and that relationship and that presence. And it flows from there. And remember, you're not doing this by yourself. He is with you. How much?
Always.
Amen. Always. When you feel it, when you don't feel it. But you know what? There are some times you ought to feel it. There'll be some times that you don't. And that's when you've got to just understand that you're going to stand by faith on the promises that he's given you. And you're going to ride out the storm until it breaks. It indicates his presence. Another thing that when he says I'm with you indicates is power. Power. Because he says all power, all authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. What does that speak of? His power is what enables us. If he's with me, then is anything impossible? For me, yeah, but not for him. He's with me. If I'm by myself, yeah. But if he's with me, enablement. I have power. That means that I have the power to overcome. That, and I'm going to share a verse with you in a moment about at the end where Satan has come with everything that he's had. But the saints that came through, it says in Revelation that they overcame. How? By the power of the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. What is the word of our testimony? The testimony that he gives us here as we go spreading the good news about Jesus Christ. We're testifying about him. That's our testimony. The word of God. Power, presence, power. Let's move on. And then purpose, purpose. Purpose. The ultimate goal of his presence abiding with us and his presence resting upon us is that his purpose may be accomplished. You know, it's that his kingdom may be established. Isn't that what he taught us to pray? Not only thy will be done, but thy kingdom come. It's all about his coming kingdom. That his kingdom, his will be done in earth as it is in heaven. In fact, the phrase that he says here, even to the end, I'm with you always, even to the end. That word end, the end of the age, the word end, is not the normal Greek word that you would say for the end or like a completion or a termination. The word end there is a word that literally means completion or consummation. That it's all going to be completed. It's all going to reach this point that all of God's purposes are going to be wrapped up, completed. It's not going to end until it's completed. You follow me? And then sometimes it says to the end of the world. Here it says age. Why is that? Well, because the Greek word is the word aeon. You've heard of that word. And aeon literally means an age. World would be the word cosmos. Now, people used to talk that way when they talk about the age without end, eternity. They'd say world without end. Yeah, we understand what we're saying. But a better way to say it is age, because that's what that word means, age or an era. There are different ages or eras or periods of time, right, as you go through the Bible. In fact, the Bible describes eternity itself as an aeon, as an age. Right now, we're living in the church age, the age of grace. But there's coming a time that this age in which we're living in is going to be completed. That same word is applied to God in Romans where he's called, I think it's in Romans 16, 26, where he's called the everlasting God. It's that word that's translated everlasting. Literally, he's the God of the ages. From the beginning age to the eternal age, he's God. Until the end of this, maybe a better way to have said that is, I am with you always, and not just while you guys are alive, but I want you to know I'm with you until the consummation of this age. That includes us. Come on, everybody. That includes us, because this is the thing. His presence is with us until the consummation of this age, this era. And then, why is it? Is he still with us? The thing changes because he's with us until the consummation of the age, and then we will be with him forever and always. And that's why we've got to pick up our part. It tells us in Revelation 12, 11, there at the end, when the devil is fighting with a fury, it talks about those who are victorious. We overcome because he's with us. Are you an overcomer? As we carry this message and we go and we fulfill the mission, I'm telling you, we will overcome any obstacle. I know there were some that were burned at the stake. I know there were some that were stoned to death. I know there are some now in prison, but we're still overcoming. And it looks ahead in that scene in Revelation chapter 12, and it says this, and they overcame him, talking about the devil, talking about all the things that he was doing. We overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death, willing to love him more than I love myself. We love him. Jeremy Camp's got a song called Overcome, and it really summarizes a lot of what we're teaching here. And what I want us to do is I want us to think about singing this, and I'm going to put it up on the board in just a moment. The first part talks about Jesus' mission, how that he became sin for us, and that he overcame. All authority then is given to him, and because of that, now he's sending us. Amen? He's sending us. And we too can overcome. I'm going to ask Zach to go ahead and start that, if it'll play, if you can find it. And what I want to do is I want this to be our invitation. As we get ready for this song, I want you to feel free to come, and I want you to feel free to come pray. I want you to feel free to come worship. I want you to pour your heart out to God. Would you do that? You know this song. I want you to sing it with me. Would you stand to your feet as we think about Jesus and as we think about what he's done? The words are going to be on there.